John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. He says, I have called, this is Jesus speaking, said, I have called you friends. Let's pray before we get started. Father, we love you, and we just thank you for this time that you've given us to come to your house to hear your word. Father, we ask you to anoint the ears here to hear, the hearts to receive, and the minds to comprehend. Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to anoint this person, bring the teacher, bring the preacher. Let me say what you'd have me to say, that and nothing more. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know that I have ever looked up the definition of a friend. We all use the term friend. You know, we say, this is my friend, and you have lots of friends. But I looked up the definition. Merriam-Webster defines friend as this: one that is not hostile or friendly. That's good. Number two, an acquaintance. And number three says a favored companion. Let's just talk a little bit about these definitions and what it means to be a friend. Now, let's talk about friendly. So we are blessed, everyone that's here is blessed to live in an area of the country that is known for its southern hospitality, right? Amen. Now, I realize that several of you here were not privileged to be born in the South, but I understand that you got here just as quick as you could, right? I was in a conversation with a neighbor of mine this week that was originally from the Midwest, tall corn country, and she related that she likes to walk every day, about a mile for her health. Yeah, right. But she walks about a mile every day for her health. And when she first moved down here, she would walk through the neighborhood and said it would freak her out because folks would say, hey, how you doing? And she, you know, they go by and say, man, it's hot weather we're having in it. Or aren't you glad the rain stopped? Or, you know, it was good to see you today. How you doing? She said, man, it would freak her out. I said, I don't know these people. What are they thinking, you know, as she walked through the neighborhood. But she got accustomed to it. She just realized that that's just the way we are down here. We talk to anybody. Even when she went back to visit her mom, said she was walking the neighborhood, and she would say, hey, to people out there, and said they'd go in the house and shut the door and peek out the window. In the South, we'll talk to anyone. It doesn't matter. I was standing in a line somewhere with my daughter, probably in Walmart. You know, you could probably read through the book of Numbers in Walmart while you're standing in line. But in this case, I was in a conversation with the lady just in front of me, and we were talking about grandkids, and I said, man, it sure is terrible that your little grandkids have to get up so early to get on, catch the bus for school, and you know, it's just, and she said, yeah, it's too early for them to eat. They just get sick if they eat that early. But I figured out how to make bacon, egg, and cheese burritos. Yeah, me too. And bacon, egg, and cheese burritos that they can take with them and eat on the way. And she was talking about she'd be glad when summer got here and so forth and so on. We just had a conversation about 10 minutes, and she laughed. And my daughter said, who was that? And I said, I don't have a clue. I didn't know her from, I'd never seen her before. Well, we're friendly. We're not hostile. We're friendly people down here. But, you know, if we're not careful, that's the way people are with Jesus. There are people that way with Jesus. I call them drive-by Christians. They're friendly with Jesus. They show up occasionally on Sunday morning, and they check in and say, hi, how you doing? And, you know, nice weather we're having, and drive on by. They're friendly with Jesus. They're not hostile to Jesus, but their relationship doesn't develop much further than that, you know? I know it doesn't happen this way, but I can just imagine on some Sundays after church, and maybe one of the angels or Gabriel or somebody might ask Jesus, said, who were them people? And Jesus said, I don't have a clue. I don't know them. Never seen them before. Now, I know it doesn't happen that way, but sometimes if you're not careful, that's the way people are. They're just friendly, not hostile to Jesus. Their relationship doesn't go any further. But that's nothing new. That's been happening for a long time, even when people were that way when Jesus was here on earth. We look in Matthew 19:16, it says, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one is good, but if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments." And so the young man said to him, saying, you know, a couple of verses later, said, "I've done all those things and I've kept them. Why am I still lacking?" And so Jesus said to the man, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, before he was one who owned much property. He was a drive-by Christian. He was acquainted with Jesus. He was friendly toward Jesus. He wasn't hostile toward Jesus, but he didn't want a deeper commitment. He was not willing to take that next step to be a true friend of Jesus. Are you with me today? You hearing me? He was a drive-by Christian. Friendly, but not hostile. We have those today. And then the next definition there was that of an acquaintance. Now, you probably have a lot of people that you know well enough to be called an acquaintance. You probably have a lot of people on Facebook that you call they're your acquaintance, right? I keep a lot of numbers in my phone. I have a tremendous amount of numbers. How did we ever live without these walking computers in our pocket? I don't remember phone numbers anymore. They're all in my phone. You know, when I was a kid, I could remember everybody's number. But anyway, I have a lot of numbers in my phone. Of course, now some of them I keep in my phone just so I know which ones not to answer. Now, don't look at me. You do the same thing. Right? You got those people that when that number pops up on your phone, you said, "Oh, dear Lord Jesus, help me now. I wonder what they want." Right? Yeah. Everybody else has that too. These acquaintances, there are so-called Christians like that are just acquainted with Jesus. They're acquainted with him just enough to know that he has answers. They're acquainted with him just enough to know that he can solve problems, and he can change circumstances, and he can meet needs. And they're just acquainted enough to know that he is the ever-present help in the time of trouble. And so, guess what? When they get in trouble, here they come. They come in the door of the church, and he said, "How can I help you pray?" "How'd you know I was in trouble? You're here, you know? Oh, me." They say, "Help me, Jesus," and he will. I heard the story of a man who was putting a roof on a tall building, a two-story building, with a really, really steep pitched roof. And any of you that's ever roofed, you know that on new shingles, sometimes you can start sliding. All that gravel. Yeah, I've been there, done that. And so there he was on this steeply pitched roof on the second story, and it began to slide. And so his whole life flashed before his eyes as he was sliding, knowing that certain death was waiting him when he hit the cement down at the bottom. So he cried out. He says, "Help me, Jesus, and I'll catch up on my tithe, and I'll be at church every Sunday morning." A prayer of desperation. Well, about that time, a roofing tack stuck up just enough to catch the loop on his overalls. And he said, "Never mind, Lord, this nail got me." He's acquainted with Jesus enough to know that he's the one to call on when you're in trouble. You know, now it's a good thing that I'm not Jesus, because there are some times when somebody call out for help, I said, "You dug your own hole and you stepped into it. Here's a shovel, dig your own self out." But Jesus don't. You can call for help no matter where you are, no matter who or what you are. If you got your own self into the trouble, you can call for help, and he's going to reach way down. He's going to reach down wherever you are, as far as it takes. And he said, "Take my hand," and he'll pull you out every time, because he's patient, he's loving, he's long-suffering, and he is an ever-present help in the time of need for those that are in trouble. But that's nothing new. There were people during the Bible times when Jesus was here on earth that were just acquainted with him enough to know that he had answers and he could do things for them, right? They only wanted the things that he could do for him. They didn't want to take that next step and be best friends with Jesus. If you look in John chapter 6, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." He had just fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000, and he said, "You're not seeking me because you see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. You're seeking me because you ate the bread I provided." They just wanted what Jesus could give them. It goes on to say in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." In verse 66, it says, "As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore." They were acquainted with Jesus. They wanted him. They were seeking him out when he was supplying them with bread and fish. But when it came down to him explaining that he was the bread of life, they had to make a sacrifice. They had to be devoted to him. They weren't ready to take that next step and be best friends with Jesus. They were just acquaintances. Right? You hear me? You with me? And then there's the third definition. It's a favored companion. There are friends that you have that are what they call besties. Anybody have those? The best friends. There are close friends who know everything about you. Your most intimate secrets. You hear me? I'm talking about everything. Those are the ones that you can never afford to not be friends with because they know too much. Yeah. They're friends that are loyal, faithful, and true. You know? People that you meet and they're lifelong friends. They're going to be your best buddy and you can depend on them no matter what. Friends like that are hard to find. And friends like that begin to think alike, right? Now, my son's not here. Yeah, I'll pick on him. When when he was in school, he was not a jock. He wasn't a prep. He wasn't a nerd or a punk or a hood. He didn't fit in any of those categories. He was kind of in the gray area in between, you know. And so he was just kind of in limbo. He got along with everyone, and they all liked him, but he wasn't really in any of those niches. Along about 8th or 9th grade, he met a fellow named Matthew Olivier. Some of you know him. And they were both cut out of the same cloth. And they became best friends. They became buddies. Lifelong best friends. I mean, they began to think alike. One day, I can remember on the first day of school, I went to pick him up or whatever. And Bo was in the car. And then here came Matthew. And he had on the identical shirt that Bo had. They had been shopping and bought the same thing. They thought alike. And that happened a lot. I mean, when we were in youth, they got so that we played win, lose, or draw, they wouldn't let them be on the same team because, you know, whatever the category was, well, Bo would get up to draw and he'd pick up the marker and start to touch the board and Matthew would get the answer. Or Matthew would pick up the marker and some of you here were there, you know. He'd pick up and start to touch the board and they'd guess the answer. That's not right. Best friends begin to have the same thought processes. Begin to know your most intimate thoughts and how you're going to even... A best friend could go to the restaurant and order your food for you, already knowing what you're going to get. A best friend can fix your coffee and bring to it, and you'll be satisfied, right? Best friends can have an entire conversation with their eyebrows. There you go. Right? You don't even have to speak. You can just look at one another and know what you're thinking. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, right? This kind of a relationship, this kind of a friendship doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen with a drive-by, not hostile attitude. It doesn't happen if it's just an acquaintance, right? It comes with communion. It comes with conversation. It comes with devotion and quality time. It comes with dedication to one another. Jesus doesn't want a casual, friendly acquaintance with you. Are you hearing me today? Jesus doesn't want a casual, friendly acquaintance. He wants to be your best friend. And everything that means. He's already made the commitment. You hear me? He's already made the commitment to be your best friend. He's just waiting on you. The ball is in your court. It's up to you to decide to make the commitment yourself. John 15:14 says, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." Now, I could have 3 points and a poem on this scripture alone, but that's another message, and I'm not going to preach that today. We're going to talk something else here. I've said enough. Jesus is looking for your time. Jesus is looking for your devotion. He's looking for your dedication. He's looking for your faithfulness, and he's looking for your loyalty. He wants you to know his thoughts. He wants to be able to carry on a conversation with you without even speaking. Just the eyebrow thing going on. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus wants to be your best friend, and he wants that communication with you. He wants constant communion with him. And that's what it takes to be a best friend with Jesus. He's looking for that. That's what he wants. He's made the commitment. The ball is in your court. Have you made that a commitment? Can you honestly say today, each and every one of you, can you honestly say today that Jesus is my best friend? Can you honestly say Jesus is my best friend today? I want you to think about that a minute. Can you honestly say Jesus is my best friend? Now, there may be some of you today here that have never made a commitment to Christ. And you can do that today. It's really very simple. People make it more difficult than it is. It's really simple as ABC. Most people make it too complicated. To make a commitment to Christ, all you have to do is to admit that you're a sinner. That's A. Admit you're a sinner and you're incapable of redeeming yourself in your own strength. You're a sinner and you've dug a hole and you can't get out of it. You need Jesus to help you. I admit that. The next thing is B. You just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that he did for you when he came to accomplish on earth through his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe the Lord. That's B. And C, then confess him as your Lord and Savior and commit to follow him all the days of your life. That's so simple. People complicate it, but it's very simple. Maybe you're here today and you've caught yourself that you've just been, lately you've been a drive-by Christian. You've just been kind of casual about your relationship with the Lord. And you today you say, I want to commit to have a deeper relationship with Jesus. I don't want to be a drive-by Christian anymore. I don't want to be casual about it. I don't want to be an acquaintance of Jesus. I want to be his best friend. Maybe you've committed to a close commitment to Christ, but maybe you've kind of neglected lately that daily devotion and commitment. Maybe you've kind of let it slide. Maybe you've not had that constant communion that Jesus wants so that he can be your best friend. You know what? You can get back on the right track today. Let's bow. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to know.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Webster Community Church or any of our other ministries, you can find us online at www.agspringhill.com.